Hi guys, welcome back to back to back to back to back. Welcome back to another episode of Lunch with Lyday. It's September, so as you know, it's time for a new episode. But for today's episode, I've got with me special guests. So I want for them to introduce. So yeah, look, let us know.
Hi
Maybe know
everyone.
you.
Hi everyone. I'm Triumph, aka Demi Lade.
AKA Big Mommy Jags.
Period.
You know the vibes, girl. Hi guys, my name is Nancy, aka Coke Alcoholic. I'm opening this Coke right now for hydration. So yeah, it's about to be a very
ASMR.
spicy episode. So
Okay, love it. Okay, so today, guys, we are going to be playing the We're Not Really Strangers card game, the Friendship Edition. And so we're all going to be going through the different levels. I got the game off of Amazon, and I'll probably put like a link in the description below. But we're going to be playing this game. None of us have like prepared for any of this. So we'll see how it goes. So we're going to go around in a circle, and then we'll start it from level one, level two, and level three, and we'll let you know like when we're switching levels. So let's get right into it.
Getting to it.
Okay. So Demlet is going to start off with level one. So
One.
you pick one card.
Okay, so I'm picking the first card. And the question says, what is the best show of all time? On the count of three, say your answers out loud. Okay, I'm gonna count
Three.
slowly because that's the thing. One, two.
Are we all saying our answers
Yeah,
together?
we're saying
Oh,
it at the same time.
I see they tinkle.
That's why I'm counting slowly.
That's not enough time, bro.
Three.
Aladdin.
Breaking Bad.
New Girl.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You changed your
is
answers.
good. Oh, New Girl. There's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine slash New Girl
Can I change
crossover.
my answer?
Yes,
Okay,
yes.
yeah.
Blacklist.
Oh!
Blacklist!
Actually,
Yes!
I
Blacklist!
Raymond Reddington is.
Raymond, baby!
You guys need to get into Breaking Bad.
Like, isn't that
I
one with
started, no, that's
Walter
the one
White
that,
or something like
I
that?
started, I'm still in season two, but more the thing they drive.
It's a slow beginning, but like.
Really slow.
The end of season one is very, very.
It's still slow.
So you set the
Okay.
card aside, and then
Okay.
Nancy, you pick your own card
level
from level one.
one. Okay, the top. Okay, let's pick it. Now, this question deep. What do you think comes easily to me that's hard for others?
Ooh, who's answering the question? Are we
We're
both?
gonna answer the question about
Okay.
Nancy.
I don't know what comes easily to me too, but let's find out.
I think that. I think Nancy finds it easy to serve other people. Like we had a conversation about this, like when we were talking on the phone like a couple days ago, and it's very easy for Nancy to be like, "Oh, let me just do it for them because they need me to do so. They need me to be there. Let me just do it for them." And people would say, "I beg you, I ain't got time for that." But I feel like one thing Nancy knows how to do is to like show up, kind of like how like you texted her to remind her about picking you up today, and she
Yeah.
already was like, "Oh, like I'm not going to forget." So that kind of thing. Like I feel like Nancy finds it easy to show up for people, even though like inside she may feel like, "Oh, maybe I just want time to rest. I just want to like do this for myself or that kind of stuff." But she'll still show up for others. So
Yeah.
I think that's what
Oh my God. Well, I wanted to say, you're very outspoken. That's one thing. I feel like Nancy is very outspoken. Like, 'cause me, I'm normally like the reserved type, but then that kind of like dynamic, I don't know. Like when we go out together, it's like, sometimes I'll be shy to say something and Nancy's just like, like not
Out
in like
there.
kind of out there and like so like bold to say. So very much like your boldness and being outspoken. 'Cause I remember when I took a class with you, parasitology, like I just loved how you were very very outspoken
Oh
in
my God,
that
bro, remember that
class. How you
time?
were yeah
This
yeah you were very outspoken in that class, and like there was always some exactly. I remember the sickle
Bro, the
cell
sickle cell, my
class.
voice
Yeah,
was, I
your
was
voice,
shouting.
that's one thing about you that I really really like, that you're you make your voice heard, whether other people
Want to hear
appreciate,
it or
yeah,
not.
like whether they want to hear it or not,
You're gonna hear
exactly.
this voice.
I like that. I like
Yeah.
that. All right, so my turn. Level one question is, oh, what was your first impression of me and what surprised you after getting to know me?
We have like seconds to think, or
Yeah.
time to think.
Three, two, one.
That's not enough.
Okay, I'm gonna go first. Mm-hmm. My first impression of you was automatically your brains, like the first thing, because okay, I feel like a lot of these questions I'm gonna associate it with like college, because mm-hmm. that's where we met each other,
yeah,
and that's where most of our relationship, like the foundation of our relationship,
kind of started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So your brains, oh my goodness, biology 151. Dr. Kamal. Bro, like that class, Aura was always so quick to answer questions and contribute in that class. I feel like other people, and this was during the summer, and I feel like your interest in that class and just the topic and just your contributions were just amazing. So that was my first impression. What was the second half of the question?
Oh, what surprised you after getting to know me?
Oh, what surprised me actually was like your knowledge of like Vine references. I'm not gonna lie, that surprised me, because I feel like when I first, my first impression was like, you know, she's all about the books, she's all about the brain, she's all about like knowledge and knowing stuff, but like the Vine references, I'm like, damn, where did that come from? Like, so that was what surprised me.
Oh, I see. Now I speak TikTok and these, so. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, my first impression of Aura, just like Triumph said, was like, that damn, this auntie, she knows book. Like, really, when I met her, I'm like, this babe is so intellectual. Like, she, bro, when she starts blowing the grammar, shout you on Twitter. Hey, Lord. Like, she's so intellectual. She knows her stuff. Like, you know how people are, you know, like, sometimes you have an idea of what you want to say, but you don't know how to bring it out. Aura precisely brings it out in a very articulate, like, you know, well-mannered, well-spoken, like, momoy way. You know, I know book kind of way, kind of stuff. I'm like, damn, that's like, a lot of people can't do that, because for me, I have like a lot in my mind, but when I start saying it, you know, this, that kind of stuff.
I get it.
Another thing that's, wait, after getting to know,
what surprised
hey, Aure's jollof rice. I know I should not be talking about, you know, what a book, you know, by the way. See, Aure's jollof rice. I remember that time I'll be coming to you. I said, let's go
summer.
To Walmart.
That was summer 2019.
Bro, I said, this jollof rice is given me in Nigeria. Because remember, we're in the US. I'm not tested homemade jollof rice, Tony spice, told doom. You know, that kind of stuff. So that really surprised me, because that's why every time she made jollof rice, I was always like, do you need me to? Remember, I also said, do you need me to blend pepper? Do you need me to water? Because man, I'm bringing my bowl, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that really surprised me about her. Like, you know. And then her love for books, because you know that it's one thing to actually graduate college and say that you're going to further, you know, your knowledge and all of that. And it's very hard for people to go to actually, you know, with like be motivated to actually go back to like, you know, study, like open your, like diversify your knowledge, whether it involves school, whether it involves like, you know, building yourself with like confidence and like different things. And that really surprises me, because it's something that I also want to do for myself, where like, although I'm no longer in school, I want to read, I want to like,
you know,
get better or whatever. I want to learn new skills. And Aure actually, that's really surprising, because nobody's forced. You know, when you're forced to read a book, there's a difference when you're forced.
Childhood
when
trauma.
Exactly. Childhood, college trauma. You really want to textbook.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when you're forced to read a book and when you actually willingly want to read the book.
Yeah.
So that really surprises me that, oh, this babe wants to actually go and open book and read by herself. May I go sleep? Oh, I got time for that. I'm already dealing with life issues. Like, but...
I want to add to that actually, because that's definitely something that also like inspires me to want to read more especially after college. It's like, you know, the little time that I have outside of work, I'm like, yeah, I feel like you inspire me to want to read more. for sure.
All right, okay. So then that is next question, and what we're still in level one, so okay.
So this is round two of level one.
Yeah, there's only two rounds per level, so
yeah. Okay, what assumption did you make about me that was furthest from the truth? Ooh.
Hey.
Getting spicy?
Huh?
So it's getting spicy.
Oh, yeah.
What assumption did you make that was furthest from the truth?
Well, personally, I don't like to assume things about people, because, like, it's usually coming from a place of, like, an absence of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So... I feel like because
it's okay, you guys can be blunt. I'll take it.
I'm still thinking, bro. Why am I this slow?
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't think that I had any
Okay.
You know your answer?
Yeah. Oyatok.
Like I said, Oyatok. I think what assumption, because I think when I met Triumph, I can't remember. I really can't remember.
Atwood.
But then when I started living with you and stuff like that, it was more of, Triumph likes to go to parties. Busting it down. Busting it. I'm like, well, this is about time for school. Like, when is she going to do class? When is she going to? But
I say you're a party animal.
Saturday, Triumph will be busting it down. Damn. Then you see Triumph Sunday in the library. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, but that was the biggest assumption that I had. I'm like, you know, there are certain people that just bust it down. But
they don't know book.
It's just busted down Tatiana, which they came to college to do, you know? But Triumph was different because I realized after living with her that this baby's actually, she knows what she's doing, though. You would think Triumph is not, she's very, you would think that she doesn't know what she's doing, that, you know, that she doesn't have her life under control. She just wants to party, you know, all of that. And the truth of the matter is that she didn't really, really party. But when I initially met her, that was my assumption. Like, I'll be seeing this baby in Atwood pushing her glasses up all the time, but not knowing that she's Atwood downstairs, busting it down kind of stuff. But it was more of like that assumption. And then I realized that she knows what she's doing. Like, Charles is very intelligent. And I remember, like, I used to have one class that showed me how much, like, how intelligent she was, immunology. Bruh. Immunology doctor. I never attended class. Mind you, FYI, disclaimer, I'm actually very smart. I just don't go to class. You know, there are some people like that. I just don't go to class. Yeah. But I'm smart. When you meet me in real life,
oh, yeah.
For sure.
Exactly. I'm just not bragging, you know? Okay. So, yeah. So that was the class that actually showed me that this girl actually, she knows what she's about. Yeah, she might be in Atwood working, and then you can see her downstairs, bust down. But she knows her stuff. She knows how to get to where she needs to be. Triumph is very serious. Like, in terms of, like, Triumph knows. Every time we had exams, Triumph would be in the library. I'm still be coming back to our dorm, like, by 1 a.m. Me, I'm still sleeping on my own bed. Like, literally, I never went to the library. Like I said, disclaimer, I'm smart. I never went to the library. I'm in my room because I didn't understand, like, why do we need to go to the library and all of that.
Study, yeah.
But Triumph would go. She would actually put in the work. And when she needs help, like, you know, meet with people that would actually... But I felt like everybody's my personal space, carry on, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah. So for me, I think my assumption. I feel like I used to think that Demlade was very like extroverted, and I think it's part of it is probably like, you know, being around with people, hanging out, wanting to hang out, and all that kind of stuff. But she's very introspective, so usually she's like ruminated over things. Well, the reality from the assumption is she's ruminated over things before she asks you about them. But your own response to what she's asking you about is to corroborate her own hypothesis. Well, grammar. Strong. Yeah, so I think that my assumption is probably that you're a lot more extroverted or that you are an external processor, which you can be depending on like what the situation is. Mm-hmm. But I think that you're a lot more introspective than people think that you are.
Oh, you guys are going to make me tear up. Like, these answers are so beautiful.
Okay, Nancy.
Oh, it's my turn?
Okay.
God, help us. Oh, that's very good. Oh, wow.
What is it?
What do I have a low tolerance for in people?
Nancy hates when people shout at her. That's why she does not like one particular person in our. Nancy hates when people yell at her. Like, she hates when people like belittle her effort. So like earlier I was talking about how like she'll show up for people. She'll show up for you, but if you belittle the effort like that she put in to show up for you, then she's just going to dislike you and your entire generation.
That's one thing. Also, Nancy does not like clingy people. Nancy doesn't like clinginess. She really doesn't. Like, I remember in college, there was this particular person that would always, like, remember? He was always, like, knocking on your door and always wanting to, like, just be around you, and it kind of got too much. So like some people, like for me, I personally don't mind clingy people as much as an average person, but Nancy just, you have no tolerance for clinginess for sure.
Oh my goodness.
Disclaimer, I love people. It's just, you can't be in my space for too long, you know? You know, I love you. You just can't be there. I don't understand why you can't be in your space. You don't have your house? Like, why? But you guys, that's actually correct. Like, honestly, I show up for people and all, but I think one thing I don't like or one thing I'm not going to tolerate is don't disrespect me, in the sense that I know, like, me serving people, like, so many people outside, like, you looking at it from the outside, you're like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing too much? Like, they're using you, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like, don't shout at me, because me, I go, I don't have home training. I have home training, right? But you can't be shouting at me and expect me to be looking at you. I will shout my own back. I don't care whether you're older than me. If I chop slap me, I'll still talk my own. But that kind of stuff, don't shout at me and that kind of stuff. And being clingy, cling on to God. Cling on to human being. Focus, you know?
Okay, so.
This is actually good.
Excuse me. So, if I am running late, what is most likely to be my excuse? Well, first of all, I don't like being late.
Exactly. That's what I'm
like, I was going to say, I already being late.
Bro, like, that's not my birthday. I was one late to my birthday. Aure was
early. Yeah, Aure doesn't come. You don't come late to events or appointments.
I was ironing my clothes.
Honestly, this is very surface level, but like, I was watering my plants.
Exactly.
I think I was going to go for, like, I was sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Like, sorry, I lost track of time. Exactly. Alarm. Yeah, I took a lap. My alarm did not ring. I set an alarm, you know. But already it's a hard
thing. Yeah, but I feel like if you had an event, knowing you, you'd probably, like, you'll set an alarm. You'll be on time. Yeah.
I said for my own birthday, I already came to my house. Dinner was by 5. I already came to my house, like, around 3, 4. We didn't end up getting there till 6. I just felt bad.
It was raining that day too.
Huh? Yeah.
It was raining that day too. That's very interesting. It was raining because I remember we were trying to get into, like,
I remember without my cocoa white shoe that did not want that one.
Yeah.
Bro!
And I had an umbrella because I was, like, prepared. But I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so now we're gonna move on to level 2.
2, baby.
Let me start. Let's go, like, in the opposite circle.
Okay.
Okay, so this question, I think it's, like, for each person. So the question is, what part of your job doesn't feel like work? I don't know if it's, like, for all of us or, but, like, I guess I could answer. So, like, with my job, I think the part that doesn't feel like work is interacting with people or trying to, like, essentially improve, like, interpersonal relationships. So, like, we have, like, a whole Jeopardy board, like, going on, or, like, just being able to, like, relate with people in a way that, like, is beyond the confines of American professionalism, that kind of stuff. But being able to just be, like, good, I guess, like, friend adjacent acquaintances with people in a way that helps them build trust, like, in you and in the work that you're doing, I think that's the part that doesn't actually feel like work. So
I actually really love that answer. Like, you know, if you had, like, a stable work environment, that should be your answer. But me, on the other hand, the part of my job that doesn't feel like work is when I'm going back home.
I like you.
Because, like, I'm in the corporate world, just like Aure, like, you know, studying, you know, get that degree, get the, you know, trying to get the bag. Mm-hmm. But then I'm realizing the corporate world also can be very toxic, because imagine being, like, you know, the only Black person at your workplace and you're trying to navigate life. Like, oh, you know how people said, like, after coming out of college is to work, meet people, you know, when people be thinking, I'll meet my husband and my workplace, we just touch hands and they love sparks. It's not like that. It's, for me, it's honestly not like that, where I'm actually, like, the only Black person and it's very hard to communicate with other people.
Yeah.
And people don't want to actually interact with you, either because of your color or because you're different from them. And there's always, like, for me, it's like, there's always cliques at work. I remember I'm always calling Triumph and Aure to be like, why don't people, like, why am I in this setting? Like, I'm not happy. I'm getting my bag, though, but...
Period.
I'm not happy. Like, mind you, I'm getting the bag. The bag is good. But in terms of, like, having a stable work environment and doing, and going to a place where, you know, your efforts are being appreciated,
yeah,
it's not that case for me. So, honestly, something that doesn't feel like, when me, I'm going, when I'm clocking out, I'm happy. to we meet again. That's my answer.
Okay, don't matter.
Okay, I want to say it's too early for me to answer this question because I haven't gotten to that stage where it's like I'm 100% comfortable with my work environment and kind of like used to it. But I would say, like, the first week of being there, just like my initial like thoughts about the job and everything, I guess the part that didn't feel like work was kind of feeling very welcome. So, like, but that's understandable because I just started. So just, you know, getting to meet people and, like, meet my coworkers. It didn't really feel like work because they were very welcoming. But it's too early to answer this question, honestly.
Okay. Nancy, your next question.
Okay. What are your proudest... Wait, sorry. What are you proudest of yourself for? Permission to brag. What am I proudest of myself?
Should we switch the question and say what we're proud of each other for?
I would love that.
I think that I am very proud of how Nancy has navigated adulting over the last 2 years. I feel like with college and everything, and how like it's very easy for Nancy to like relax or just be like making jokes and everything. Like it's very easy for you to think that she's just like just
nonchalant,
exactly. Yeah. But Nancy is very chalant. and so being able to see how like she's navigated like adulting, especially like by herself, mm-hmm. over the last 2 years, I think that that's something that I've been very, and like essentially knowing that, okay, this is what I want to do, and being able to see her like have that drive to, you know, go for that thing, I think that's one thing that I'm definitely very proud of. So yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Okay, I want to say I'm proud of you for like, you're just full of ideas, like in a good way, because it's like, you know, I don't know, like you have so many ideas about things that you want to do, and it's like you're not okay with just being there, like you're not okay with just, you know, just mediocrity. That's what I would say. Like you have ideas, and you know, you're always like working towards something, and you have goals. Like that's what I'm proud of you for. Ever since you left college, it was kind of like, it's so easy for you to just be comfortable in one place and just, you know, just kind of, but you're always like on the move, on the go. Yeah. Like kind of like always full of ideas and just thinking about, you know, this is next, this comes next, that type of thing. So I'm definitely proud of you for that.
Aww. Yeah. Aww, Nancy is very talented. She definitely cares a lot that she has a dream or she has a goal and she drives for it.
It's my turn. Okay. What have I introduced you to that you now love?
How are you looking at me?
Bro, I'm still thinking. Remember, guys, I'm the slow one in the group.
Well, I guess like being comfortable with being like obsessed with mangoes.
Ooh, I do love mangoes. I feel like they're God's greatest gift to mankind.
I definitely did like love mangoes like from Nigeria, but I guess being comfortable with that. I feel like there's something else that there has to be something more than mangoes.
I'm also about to mention food too.
Yeah, I was about to mention food.
Alfredo. Alfredo, because when I used to live with Triumph, that she would make that spicy Alfredo. And I'm like, I tried to make mine, but I ended up in the toilet because I have diarrhea. But that was something that she introduced me to that was like, damn. Like, it was super good. I'm trying to think of my obsession with lip glosses now.
Oh! Thank you very much.
Lip glosses.
It's always giving Birdie. It never gave
nothing else.
Regular. Never gave chapped lips.
Exactly. Chapped lips. Thank you
very much. Because Charles lip was always glossed up. I seemed like, you know, come and kiss
you
me.
You know what I always
stuff.
Say? You gotta keep the gloss on you like a gloss.
Her lips was always giving, and I'm like, I'll be putting Mentos chapstick on my own mouth. I'll dry up after like 5-10 minutes. So that's what she introduced me to. And she put me on the right ones, like the right ones for real. And that's something I'm really appreciative of.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back. Took a little bit of a break. And we're going to be going to the second round of level 2. So I'll start the second round again. And see. Well, this doesn't work for me, but the question says, what ex of mine confused you the most? Never had an ex. this one is like a fill in the gap. So I distanced myself when dash.
Is that the end of the question?
Yeah, Damashik question. I distance myself when things get like overwhelming and I cannot like process it like well enough. So I have to like retreat and like really think about it And then that's why, like, I spend all the time, like, either sleeping. And that's when my phone goes on do not disturb. It's just, like, it becomes very overstimulating to have to deal with everything else going on the outside, but and also what's, like, going on in my mind. So I think that's when I distance myself the most. Okay, Nancy.
What do you wish you got more credit for? Guys, I know you can't see me, but I'm actually scratching my head. I don't even know what do I wish I got more credit for? I think I'm going to pass on this because I don't even know.
Yeah, no. I don't even know what part of this.
Yeah.
This is connection?
No, I was talking about the part that we said, who are we proud of? I mean, what are we proud of? So if this was in the first part, then it's probably like, probably getting more credit for showing up for people. I think that's what you wanted. But yeah, go ahead. Answer.
What are you tired of complaining about?
Ah.
I said, this is why I'm not tired, to be very honest with you. There's so many things. I'm tired of complaining about, like, stability at work. Like I said earlier, like, you know, work life. You know, just being different at work and people not wanting to, as if I'm smelling. I'm not smelling, no. Like, I don't, like, you, like, just people don't want to associate with you because of your color and that kind of stuff. And that affects me at work because I'm the only, like, you know, person of color at my workplace. And it's really sad because I would, what I wanted, like, you know, out of college was, oh, hang out with people from work and they become my friends. And then, you know, on your wedding day, oh, I met my core and then they became, you get what I mean? All those, like, beautiful stories.
That's why television is bad.
Exactly, because it corrupts the mind.
Yeah.
But that's not where I'm at.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm tired of complaining about is audacity of African uncles and aunties. Them always being in your business, not minding their business. They want to introduce you to their daddy's brother's uncle for marriage, neighbor's friend. They want to be thinking that your daddy and mommy. Me too. If that's the case, I mean, all of their children's daddy and mommy, everybody below the age of 10, I can give birth to all of you. Because if you think you are 44 and you can give birth to a 23-year-old, then I can give birth to your best son. That is six. I should have just started when I was 15 years old. That's all. So it's like the audacity of African uncles, aunties, always being in your business. And I'm honestly just tired of complaining about all of that, to be very honest. Like, I feel like, I know this is the reality of growing up. I know this is the reality of adulting, that, you know, and adulting is the ghetto. I'm not going to lie, too. Adulthood is actually a scam.
Before I started adulting, my love language was quality time.
What now, is it now?
Act of service.
Now, it's giving money.
Someone needs to cook food for me.
Cook food for me. I don't want to be cooking 7 days a week.
One? Oh,
cook,
my God.
Do my laundry.
Cook.
Clean balancing for me. Cooking and
we can
work.
We can bond while cleaning, washing. You'll be washing plates.
I'll be watching TV.
Exactly. Like, honestly, like, being an adult, I'm learning. I get to learn on a daily basis, but I'm just like, you know how our parents hid all the
behind the scenes of
the behind the scenes of adults. Yeah. We just, you know, we're those kids that, oh, I want money. I just tell my daddy I want ice cream.
And get it
for me. Oh, you know, your dad will give you 500 naira. Go and hang out with your friends or go to KFC.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff. But now it's like, you have responsibilities because I'm the eldest and I'm pretty sure we all are actually on this podcast and the responsibility of having to take care of our siblings when we're still trying to finish taking care
if
of
not,
ourselves.
Not
adjusting
yourself, exactly.
Exactly. I'm not still finished learning how to take care of myself, but having to take care of other people behind me, including your parents, now having to navigate life yourself, having to, you know, get to, you know, parents always want to be able to be like, you know, say, my daughter is this, my daughter is this. And there's just a lot of pressure from different sides.
I think being like the first kid also kind of makes you like a guinea pig.
It does.
Like, everything you're doing is for the first time, especially like if it's the first time in like your family that anyone has ever done a particular thing. Mm-hmm. It's always a very interesting experience where like you're dealing with people from like your parents and everybody else on that, like on the outside, who has, well, first of all, they've never done it too before.
Yeah.
So they're also confused. So dealing with their confusion as well as your confusion and trying to balance it in a way that everybody like ends up like happy and successful whatever comes at the end. Yeah. It's also, I think,
Safe to say that our parents, like us being the first kids, our parents used us as an experiment to know how to like cater to the younger ones?
I don't think so.
For me, that was the case.
I mean, technically you can say that because it's like they've never been parents to anybody before, so it's like it's the first time parenting, you know. So technically,
but you weren't like you weren't like a disposable experiment. That's the thing.
No, I was a
yeah. So you definitely like were there obviously, like, they're living life for the first time.
How can
too,
they
so you were there.
Me? I'm gonna stick with you.
You were there, like, you definitely were there for, it's almost like when you're learning how to pipette, right? You learn for the first time, it's like, okay, this is very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. But then every other time you do it, it seems like
it gets better.
Like, you know,
yeah,
when
you're the first time,
but that's when you learn, but that's where your trial and error. But that's where your trial, like you said, using that analogy of like perfecting, but that's where trial and error. You have
true.
To
comes in,
try. After you know, perfecting is then you're multiple, and that's what I mean by multiple siblings or multiple kids. After like, okay, we learned from Nancy or we learned from Ore that we need to focus more on this, because I realized that while growing up, like with my siblings now, because everybody has grown up now, but I realized that I couldn't bring friends to the house, but now my siblings have. Friends coming over to the house, they are spending time at their friends' houses. Mm-hmm. They seized my phone during the exam. GS3 while I was writing WAEC. But then, now my siblings, they're vibing. Yeah. And I'm like, when I was your age.
That's a common trend among like, African parents, among parents in general, I feel like, because it's like their first child, they're harder on their, you know, they want to get it right. Because there's, I think you have to think
that's
about,
exactly
yeah,
they
you
want
to,
get
they
it
want
right.
to get it right.
Exactly.
But then when, you know, they see that, okay, my first child is doing great, you turned out, then on your siblings, your younger siblings, it's like they're less harsh on them. They're kind of like.
And that if this one is already there, they're an example, so they'll
see
that color. Yeah.
Is that good parenting? I don't know.
It depends. It depends on their perspective. Yeah. If they were too, like, if they were over-involved with, like, one and under-involved with the other, it's a lopsided, like, seesaw or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel like it's just a matter of balance. And then I think another thing that also happens is, even though, like, with the younger siblings who still live with, like, our parents, for example, like, they're all, like, well, my brother doesn't live with my parents, but, like, they're all, like, let's say, like, them getting the freedom you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. There's also the idea that when you're older too, they start to be more lenient with you.
Yeah.
So
I know
like they start to really like, you know, it's like almost like when you're riding your bicycle and they start to like they're slowly reducing it, like removing their hands from you and letting you like make
your
own
make
decisions
your own
and
decisions.
Stuff like that. The problem, for example, going back to the audacity, is from people who were not there when you were learning how to ride the bicycle.
Exactly.
The aunties and the uncles.
They were not there when you were learning how to ride the bicycle. They were not there when you were, you know, scratching your legs and learning like how to maneuver.
But all of a sudden they want to.
They want to come and say, "Let's go!"
Hey, problem.
So yeah.
My turn. All right. This question is calling me out mentally too. Okay. What are you trying not to think about? I'm trying not to think about going back to work on Tuesday.
This weekend.
Because it's a public holiday this weekend. It needs to be a soft, stress-free weekend. I'm trying to live in the moment. I'm trying to be present, okay? So that's my answer. I'm trying not to think about going back to work because that's just going to bring me down. So, yeah.
You won't break my soul. All
right, so now we're moving on to round three. It's about to get deep. Let's go into it. Let's see. All right. Oh, this one is good. I saw this one. Let me think.
What inside joke of ours will never stop being funny? You guys, okay. I love the one I just thought about.
Okay.
How did we coin the name Trio of Fire? It's an inside joke. Trio of Fire, remember? You guys know.
It was from these people's WhatsApp, Kenina. When they were doing Best in Lover.
Okay. Trip. We still talked about it. Okay, it's an inside joke, so we can't tell
one,
you guys.
The Trio of Fire is definitely a funny one.
Yeah, but that's what we refer to ourselves as, and it's an
that's
inside joke.
Chat is
right, Trio of Fire. So if you know, you know.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Dancing.
What was the hard? Wait. Sorry, guys. It's late, so I'm not reading. What was hardest for you to open up to me about? What made you feel safe? Are you guys comfortable with this question?
I think that's a question for outside of the podcast. Well, I guess no. I feel like I already spoke about it before, but it depends on what the topic is. But I feel like opening up about rejection is something that usually, like, I feel like I'm very, like, I internalize a lot rather than expressing how I feel to people. So I think being able to like open up about like how I was processing rejections was what was a good experience. And I think that the fact that like outside of, well, one, like validating my emotions, but also being able to help me see how, like, in due time things will like pan out. Mm-hmm. I think that made me comfortable. So yeah.
I want to say this question, I can't really answer it too well, because it's like, that's why both of you, I would consider both of you like my best friends, because it's really easy to open up to you about stuff. So like, I can't really think of something that it was like initially hard for me to open, unless I can, if we're going way back, like we're going back to when we first met. Yeah. I would say like talking about like my relationship and my love interest, it was kind of hard to open to up to you about that at the time, because you know, we were just kind of like
getting
to know each other, and it was like the people we knew. But for now, like, you guys, it's so easy. That's one thing that I really love and appreciate about you guys, because it's like, it's very easy for me to like open up about things that are like bothering me or things that I'm concerned about, you know.
Oh, okay, so this question says, what is my superpower as a friend?
Your superpower as a friend. I think for you, it's how you, like I said, articulate things. Because I'm very impulsive. I'm very, very impulsive. Especially when it involves boys. I can be impulsive because I feel like I'm attracted to this person, that kind of stuff, and I want to act on it now.
Yeah,
very infatuated with the person. But then I talk to Aurea and I talk to Triumph also, and I'm like, guys, this is how I'm feeling. And then Aurea actually sits me down and be like, okay, let's walk through this. Let's think about it. And then I realized that, honestly, I actually don't like this boy because he has a fine face and he's tall. He's 6 feet. That's what he's doing me, that kind of stuff. And I like how Aurea, that's a very big superpower. The fact that she's able to listen, like she doesn't cut you. Like you get to like, you know, finish processing whatever, or like, you know, opening up about whatever. And then her walking you through it, articulating all of that. I love that. Because it's not a lot of people that know how to do that. And another thing is, she's not judgmental. I know I tend to make a lot of mistakes with guys, even, you know, but then she's not going to be like, Ode, Mumu, that kind of stuff. Have you told let your lesson? That's why you been, you know, that kind of stuff. She doesn't judge you. Because at the end of the day, I understand I'm not perfect and no one is perfect. Mm-hmm. And people tend to make mistakes, because at the end, also, if a lot of people know what's not good for them, but tend to still gravitate towards that, it doesn't mean that the person is foolish. It doesn't mean that the person is not wise, but there are certain things that tend to have that we feel like we're deeply connected to, that tend to have like a strong hold on us. So I like the fact that Aura is non-judgmental. I can easily open up to her. She listens and articulates stuff, you know, processes, walks step by step, procedure as a biochemist. Exactly. So yeah.
Okay. My answer is very, very similar to what Nancy said. Like, I really think your superpower is your level of deep analysis towards like things and just topics, and just you're very analytical, and you definitely see, like, if I bring up just anything, like a concern, a topic, just you see things from within, and you also see the bigger picture as well. And it's like you also see things from like different points of view. And I feel like that's one thing that it's not very common among like people in general,
just especially being, our age too.
I would say a superpower. Like, you see things from like a broad perspective,
you know. Something that I don't say, that's Aurea sees things standing up.
But honestly, that's really it. And what Nancy said too, like, just not being judgmental. Yeah. I knew that from like the very beginning, like even the first stages of our friendship, that you're not a judgmental person. And that's what like made me gravitate towards you and just like telling you things in general. It's very, 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 it feels amazing having a friend like that, you know, that you know that regardless of what happens, regardless of what stupid mistake you make, like, they're not going to judge you for it, you know? So, yeah.
So much. Okay. All right. So, was it level two? Yeah. So, of round two, sorry, of level three. Yeah.
Okay. This is the final round two.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this question is so beautiful. Okay, you guys have to answer it. What makes our friendship work?
I think the fact that we're honest. I think honesty is very, like, good. And it could be a matter of, like, Oh, and also, okay, so it's two things. One, honesty. So regardless of, like, however you feel about something, like, we say exactly how we feel. And we're also, like, not afraid to, like, apologize whenever we, like, do something wrong or say something wrong. And then two, I think that everybody is, like, very proud of who they are individually. And nobody is trying to be another person. Or nobody is trying to, like, pretend to be who they're not. So, like, our dynamics, like, work well because we hone in on the strength of our personalities, like, throughout the entire thing. I think that's why it works.
I want to add to that. That's a really beautiful answer. And I want to add to that because I feel like our personalities, like, balance each other out.
We're all different.
Exactly. We're all different. Like, if you're watching from an outsider, they'll be like, huh. Like, this is very, exactly. We're all different, but, like, we also balance each other out, which is really beautiful. So I think that's part of what makes our friendship work.
True. And then, because we all have, like, just like they said, we all have different lives. Like, we're in the corporate field, so we're in the healthcare field, but we all do different things. But I also, the thing that makes our friendship work is that even though we don't talk every single day, we're connected. We try to find time to actually talk. And when we do, we can talk for so long. And we can even have like a 10-minute conversation, but it was worth it. It was worthwhile. We know we're still connected. We know that, you know, that our friendship or our foundation is very strong. And I like the fact that we're... Also, something that makes our friendship work, which I feel like is very beautiful, is, like, I like the fact that we're not afraid to call each other out when we're messing up. I honestly love that, because there are certain times that I might have done something, for instance, maybe I might have done something that Triumph didn't like, or I might have done something that Ore didn't like. I love the fact that, not even in a harsh way or anything, that, okay, you don't let that resonate with you and then you hold it as a grudge, because people tend to do that. Like, you don't know, 5 years ago, you said this, I'll never forget.
December 29th, 5:45 p.m.
That kind of stuff. And then I like the fact that, exactly. I love the fact that we don't let those things resonate, because at the end of the day, even if we hurt each other, we know maybe, oh, she was in a bad mood. I know that's not like, what's the word?
We're able to give excuses for each other.
Yeah, exactly, because... I know that if, okay, Triumph's phone is not on D&D, or if Ore is not on D, I know something is going on.
Yeah.
Or, okay, you know, like, we don't give excuse in the sense that, like, we don't try to...
It's not to, like, excuse
exactly, like, bad behavior. But we know that something is going on. There has to be something at the moment going on. Yeah. And let's just give her a space. Like, you know, for that moment. Because, obviously, we know she's going to come back and we know we're going to talk through this. Mm-hmm. But I love that fact that we're easily able to call each other, because, you know, like, as human beings, we tend to, like, and that's the honest truth. Certain things we say, whether in the moment or not, and I'm a very playful person, certain things I might say, me thinking it's a joke, some people might not find it funny, that kind of stuff. And I like the fact that we don't just let it resonate. Like, oh, Nancy, Triumph, or I don't like how you say, like, you know, just healthy, it's a healthy relationship, because at the end of the day, no relationship is perfect. Our years of friendship, we have learned that we do make mistakes, but we try to correct it as soon as, you know, like, things come up. And that is what is making us go strong. Because if you're in a relationship and you have not, you know, had a something like,
then it's giving fate.
It's giving fate.
It's giving toxic. Somebody's lying.
Even married couples.
Even
married couples do have small, but that doesn't say I would divorce you because of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I really love that about our friendship, and I'm very excited for many more years, many more trips, many more. Bro, these people are my bridesmaids, chief bridesmaids on my wedding day. So I'm really excited for the stories, for the families, for the kids, and everything we're about to build together.
Imagine the, you know, cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, your turn.
Oh, it's me. Okay. I'm in.
Pass.
It's a Friday night. I can't be. Both players finish the sentence. I'm so proud of. We've done this, guys.
Pass.
We've done this. What's one thing you cherish about your friendship?
Oh, we just spoke about that.
What's something that reminds you of me?
Of you?
Is it like an object?
It doesn't matter, actually. Anything, really.
Instagram.
Bro, people that know, know.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Instagram Reels.
Instagram Reels. Guys, yeah. That's, yeah, well. Trump, the thing we spoke about in the car.
That's the thing. I don't want to call people out. But like, you know how... You know, there are certain things you just see. I feel like being friends with somebody, obviously you talk about like out, you talk about your environment. You talk about outside factors. So like, you know, you see something on social media
and then you know that, oh, child has seen this and she's
and you know your like, friend has seen it. It's kind of like a mind-to-mind connection as well, if you think about it, because it's like,
It's like when you prove something and then all of you look at each other.
Exactly.
Time.
Except even if we're not in the same environment, just seeing it on social media.
You know who that is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I want to give another answer too. Like, Sam Smith, for some reason. Oh, when I listen, when I live with you, like, she was always listening to Sam Smith. So, Sam Smith, I feel like I've already associated that with you, basically. Yeah.
So, my last question. This one is giving self-guinea.
Self-reflection.
Oh, no.
This is the last question, so let's make it count.
Oh, okay. I think this one is a good one that everybody this is a good one that everybody can kind of answer. So the question says, and what I guess we sort of answered it with the holding each other like accountable and stuff like that, so I guess it doesn't. When do you feel most protective over me? And I feel like we should like answer for like each other.
Ooh.
Oh, this sounds awesome. Okay. Go on.
So I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna talk about you and
I feel like I feel protective over Nancy when people try to take advantage of her. And then I feel protective over Demilade when she tries to take advantage of herself.
Bro, that's a good one.
Bro,
because that self-sabotage do be it do be slipping in every once in a while. But.
Yeah,
it's a deep, deep answer. I'm not even trying to like think, guys. Yeah,
I'm my most protective.
Ooh, I just remembered a situation like. When we were in college, like, I feel like I felt overprotective of you at that time when it was, like, that at that point, someone did try to take advantage, and it was, like, there was nothing you could do about it.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about it. There was nothing. Okay. Yeah. This was a long time ago. There was nothing she could do about it. So, at that point in time, I felt overprotective because it was just, like, kind of just being a friend and just being able to, like, being comforting in that situation, because I know we said this, you're very articulate, so if it gets to a point that Aura doesn't know what to say or she can't, like, just doesn't want to talk about a situation, you know it's bad. So it's like, at that point, at that point, it was just like there was nothing that I could really do but to just comfort you and just be a good friend at that point in time.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's right. I remember what you're talking about.
And then Nancy, when do I feel protective of you?
I don't even know when I feel protective of myself.
Ah, okay.
That's what we see him. I know when I felt most protective of you. That was that time in college. Mutual friends.
Yeah.
I remember that time.
Yeah. I feel like we can't really give the exact scenarios, but we know.
We know.
Yeah. And it's usually, like, we all kind of have the same answer, because it's usually when someone else tries to take advantage or when we see someone else kind of doing that moving affects mad, us. Exactly. Moving mad. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think I'm protective of Aura when, because I know Aura is, like, very analytical and Aura loves her space. I think when we're more outside, because I know, like, Aura is, like, inside person. Aura doesn't like drama. Aura doesn't like wala. And I think I'm more protective of Aura when we go out. Like, oh, if we want to go out, have just lunch and they want to do something outside, I know that, okay, Aura is not about this life and Aura needs to come back and that kind of stuff.
So that's, I really like that.
Yeah, so I know that Aura, you will not catch Aura outside the house by 8 p.m.
I have nothing to do.
You will not catch her. After the dinner, no concerts, none of that. After the dinner, straight to the house. So I think I'm very protective of her, because, like, oh, how Aura gets home? We need to plan that. We need to make sure that she's home before then because we know that she's not going to do this. I'm actually really protective of her during that time because I know there are certain things that Ore would not do, come rain, come sunshine, yeah. And you cannot try to make her do what she doesn't want to do. Last time, she will take over and go. She doesn't need you.
It's going to catch when it goes.
So that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and I also set for triumph in situations where people try to take advantage, whether it be it male or female, of you, because, yeah, and that's one thing. At least take advantage of, not take advantage of people, but there's one thing I can't stand is don't try to take advantage of people that are closest to me. Like, those are people, I consider them my sisters, even if, like, we're not, like, best friends and all.
Yeah.
And I cannot see my sister, like, crying or being down because of one useless person on the house side.
I like that.
So, yeah.
All right. So, what are your closing words?
Man, this is so beautiful.
I actually did like this.
I feel like it definitely, like, strengthened our bond, and it made a lot of things, like, revealed, you know, like
it also opened up like memories that we
exactly
yeah, forgot about.
Right.
I think what it did was it also like there's a lot of like subtle things that we do that we don't necessarily like
talk
pay
about?
Attention to.
Yeah.
And then until like the person who does said subtle things like said like, oh, this is why I do this or this is like my reasoning for doing this, you're able to understand there's so much like weight in like the little things, that kind of stuff.
I think also like in terms of like appreciating, it made me appreciate our relationship, our friendship more, because like I said, guys, like you are my best friends and I'm just so excited about our future together, that kind of stuff. And I don't see this bond breaking, like I don't,
yeah,
who's that person that wanna break it? I don't see it breaking. So I'm very excited about what is to come. And I'm honestly looking forward to, like I said, our families, building families together.
Our children,
you know,
being
our friends. being
friends
to the end, and their children being. I just love, like, it's gonna be a generational family bond kind of stuff. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to add: is it okay if I ask the listeners to also, like, you know, if you get to this point, also say something about like what you love about your best friends, you know, we have to
send them
about
a text, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And like just
appreciate them.
Exactly.
Yeah, just
share
a word goes
share
a long
what
way.
You have in mind about like friendship and just you know.
Yeah, honestly, somebody reached out to me today. I was in a trial. Somebody reached out to me today and I'm like, I used to be friends with this boy at some point. Mm-hmm. We used to have some good friendship and good banter. And it's just like, despite all the stuff that, which I'm like, okay, I must be in this person's mind for God knows what reason, whether good or bad, for him to want to call me and, you know, talk to me. So I just realized that even though you don't talk with somebody every day, some relationships, it's going to be there for forever. Mm-hmm. And
I can't wait to listen back to this and just.
I know. Should we play this on our wedding day? We just play some.
It's not that deep.
Yeah, sorry. I'm already thinking about the future.
I like it.
I'm thinking
like
about
it.
The future, baby.
So that was this game. We're obviously still probably going to keep playing like a few more questions like by ourselves. But if you guys wanted to essentially like have your friends tell you good things about yourself, you should definitely check out the We're Not Really Strangers game. And I'm pretty sure there's also like so many different versions like somewhere online that you can find. The timer is already counting down. It's almost time to finish recording. But it
Peace
was
out.
Lovely.
We need to do like a sign
game.
Out free.
What should I say?
I will fire
should
we before
we
go.
1, 2, 3, trio fire. 1, 2, 3, trio
fire.
Out.
Period.
Stay safe and drink a bottle of Coke.
Drink water, please.